Welcome to Unsquish the Fish, the podcast where bloggers, writers, and Fins fans come to talk everything Miami Dolphins and bask in the glow of aqua and orange. And now, for the host of Unsquish the Fish, Ron Caniff. Fins up. Fins up. Fins up.
What is up, Dolphins fans? Another episode of Unsquish the Fish, and I'm super pumped and charged right now because I've been talking some smack with some of the fans, from us, especially from the Falcons fan, and he's sitting there literally saying, I just got to figure this out. We don't know what happened. Or let me tell you what happened. The Dolphins D got up in that. Just figure it out, league. I hope, for the sake of the fans of these other teams, hopefully their teams and coaches have it figured out and aren't taking the Dolphins lightly. What's up? I'm here with Max Himmelrich from the Deep End Miami. I got that right, right? The Deep End Miami.com.
Oh yeah, it's a mouthful.
All right, what's up, Max? How you doing, man?
Doing great, especially after last night. How are you?
I'm awesome. And let me give you a little bit of Max's trek to get on this pod here. He lives in, or he goes to school in L.A. UCLA. Do I have that right? You go to school in UCLA?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. And when did you actually come into Miami?
So I flew into Miami. I took the red eye last Thursday night, got in Friday at about 5:30 in the morning, spent the day with my family on Friday. Saturday night, I went to the game, then finished my article for my website. If you guys want to check it out at thedeependmiami.com, we did grades and analysis. And then finished that around 2 in the morning, left my house at 4 in the morning to go to the airport, made it to the airport by 5. For my 7 o'clock flight, and now I'm back in Los Angeles running on 2 hours of sleep, but here I am, all for the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's a crazy trek, man. That's awesome. So how was the game last night? Was it awesome?
Game was unbelievable. I mean, I saw attendance in that stadium that was better than regular season games had been in years past. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, there were open seats because it is the preseason. But it was a really, really strong showing for the fans. Everyone was into it. The new stadium renovations are unbelievable. Stadium looks like an entirely new venue. I mean, you barely recognize it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's hard to tell from like the pictures. All I can really see is that the seats aren't orange, they're aqua. But I guess you really have to be there to see the true renovation.
They've improved the flow of traffic. They've done better on the turnpike now. They've changed the lane a little bit in the parking lot, so everything flows. I mean, we already had one of the more efficient stadiums in the league, thankfully. But so yeah, everything looks really good right now in that regard. It's going to be even better when they get the roof on, because it rained a little bit last night. But the main thing that you realize is, one, the players come out of a different spot. They don't come out from behind the goalpost anymore. The players now come out from one of the corners.
Really? Okay, they really did some renovation. Yeah, holy crap.
Yeah, and the deep end, the actual fan section, has been moved to the other side of that same end zone. But they brought it back this year, which is huge. I think it's a great presence in the stadium. It's what I named my website after, in honor of them. And they did a great job with it. The seats are so much closer to the field. It's unbelievable. I mean, because now the Marlins don't play there, so we don't need the baseball configuration. The seats are, I mean, 20 feet from the bench. It's close.
That's cool, dude. That's awesome, man. I haven't gotten to see the new stadium yet, though, but I definitely will this season for sure, man.
Great.
why do you think this team is being underestimated by fans of other teams right now?
I think that at this point in the preseason, I think a lot of teams look around the league and they take a team like, let's say, for example, the Patriots, and they see weaknesses on the Patriots roster and they understate them because they're the Patriots. But then they look towards the Dolphins roster and they see, oh, they have a weak offensive line. And they say that, oh, the weak offensive line is going to debunk their entire season. Well, what does that have to do with Ndamukong Suh, Cameron Wake, and Olivier Vernon being in your face for 4 quarters? Exactly. That doesn't have anything to do with the other team only being able to score 17 points. Our offense doesn't need to score 45 points a game, because no one's going to score more than 24 points against this defense.
Yeah, no, dude, no way, no way. And mostly it's because we're the Dolphins, and they hate us because they ain't us. Did I say that right? Sorry, I had to be stupid.
Yeah, it's like we said last time. There's a bias against a team. If you compiled Ryan Tannehill's stats from this preseason behind this offensive line, and we'll get to Dallas Thomas in a second because he's been very impressive, but he had something like an 80% completion for 300 and some yards and three touchdowns mm-hmm. in four quarters. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen in the regular season because that would be pretty outstanding. But, I mean, when you look, it's a clear improvement. I mean, you remember we used to debate Ryan Tannehill versus Matt Moore.
Yeah, that's true. And I've said that a few times now, that it just you could see the gap so much clearer now.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, yes, for sir. Sure. Now, do you have any? And I'm gonna be devil's advocate. I'm gonna come down off the hype for 2 minutes, off the hype train. I'm gonna be devil's advocate for a moment. It concerns me a little that his percentage is that high because I feel like is he making more safe throws when he could be attempting throws that are a little bit further downfield, especially on third and long and throwing it short. That's my only thought. I heard a lot about that's how we schemed against Atlanta and the way they were going to play defense and blah blah blah. But I don't know. I mean, 80% is kind of ridiculous.
It's not concerning because it's not going to happen in the regular season. I think. The goal is, obviously, if you're releasing the ball quickly, you're not going to get sacked. And that's the goal in the preseason. We don't want Ryan Tannehill to get hurt because then the season's over.
Yeah.
But I think that if we can let him throw the short passes, that's a big part of the game, too. I mean, especially in Bill Lazor's offense. It's a West Coast system, and it's fast. And the one thing is Ryan Tannehill has been given more control. And when Ryan Tannehill gets more control, he's going to play to his strengths. He's not going to call six audibles a game that run it deep. He's going to try to audible into a short pass because he knows that since Lamar Miller's added weight and Damian Williams is a very solid option for short yardage, if he can chisel away at that 10 yards until it's third and four and he can throw a slant to Jarvis Landry every single time, then there's no reason to not keep doing that and have 12 play drives. I don't know how he's going to look on the deep ball. I think Minnesota Vikings fans are starting to kind of show us and realize it wasn't as much Tannehill as it was number 11. But I really, really think that when the regular season gets going, they're going to throw it deep a little bit more, but that it's not going to be as often as it was last season because Kenny Stills, our deep threat, is much more versatile than Mike Wallace was. He can play short. He can catch in traffic. Like you were saying about the statistics, he was one of the most efficient receivers in the league last year. He fights for the ball, and he has more heart than Wallace ever did, and we can throw it short and let him create yardage in short area because he has such good quickness.
Yeah, and there is also the fact that, really, if you kind of consider, I know that we were really down three linemen last night because Pouncey went out. Dallas Thomas was already playing tackle, which means we had also somebody else in at right guard. Or no,
we had
right guard. So it's really like three linemen were out in a way.
Yeah, we were Dallas Thomas at left tackle, Jameel Douglas at left guard, Pouncey at center at the beginning, but then J.D. Walton, and then it was Billy Turner and Juwan James on the right side. And the left side of the line last night played some really outstanding football. There were some moments there where I was really, really impressed by Dallas Thomas, and it's happened all preseason. He has his failure. I'd say one out of every five plays, he'll let his guy beat him. But he's really solid. I mean, really solid for the rest of the time. And he's not optimal, but I don't think it is as bad as Dolphins fans thought it was going to be. I think we all thought he was going to get Tannehill killed.
Yeah, I think so. And I definitely don't feel that way anymore right now. I mean, I want to see it for the whole game. I mean, it's just been bits and pieces right now, but he definitely looks better.
And if you look, I mean, we can talk all we want about how good the Dolphins division is in terms of defensive lines, but if you look at our schedule, we play some pretty strong defensive lines early in the season. I mean, Washington, while they're a little bit of a joke, their defensive line and linebackers aren't awful. And then Jacksonville's actually got themselves a pretty decent defensive line. They're not strong on the edge, but the Dolphins aren't strong inside. So, but I think that the team, because the teams they play aren't featuring outstanding edge rushers until we get to Buffalo, I am totally okay with the Dolphins resting Brandon Albert for the first two games of the season against Washington and Jacksonville, because I think those are two games that we can win either way.
Yeah, no, I understand. No, I'm feeling a little better about it now than I was thinking about it 3 weeks ago, but it may not even be necessary. I mean, he may play.
Right, he might play, but it might be better even if he can play to give him just a couple extra weeks, let him wait. I mean, even when we play the Jets in week four, they're not going to be as strong because Sheldon Richardson's not going to be in.
Yeah.
Sheldon Richardson, mind you, don't even get me started on that. He should not be playing this entire season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, man. That's true. One thing I'm excited about right now is the play of Earl Mitchell. And the reason I'm excited about Earl Mitchell is you look at the way this guy is playing. He is probably the fourth, if you ranked our linemen 1 through 4, he's probably number 4. And he's killing teams. He's killing them. He's stuffing the run. He's in the face. What?
Right, exactly. And I mean, like, we saw him last season. He had his best year last season. He was better than he was in any of his years with Texans. But who's going to block him? Who's going to choose to block him over Cameron Wake, Vernon, and Sue? He has the best situation in the league this year. He's just going to get free runs, and all he's got to do is if he can study the defense and if he can know which direction the running back is going in and what's happening, and if he can be there, it's going to be unbelievable. And he was moving guys with his strength. I mean, he was taking guys last night and pushing them back into the running back. He wasn't just shedding blockers. He was using his power and moving people.
Yeah, man. This line, they're that's so good, man. And I like the way the linebackers are playing. I mean, at some point in the game last night when Matt Ryan was still in there, they put some of the second string linebackers in there and let them play, which I thought was awesome.
Yep. I'm not a huge fan of Kevin Coyle's philosophy regarding rookies and young players. I don't believe that we should be starting Calvin Shepard. I believe that Koa Meese should be starting inside, and we should have Chris McCain and Jelani Jenkins flanking him. Mm-hmm. But there, it's just purely a difference in philosophy. And he likes these veteran guys, and I don't have a huge issue with it. But we know who Calvin Shepard is going to be. We know who he's going to be on his absolute best day. You know, we have no idea how good Chris McCain could be.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. And when you got a D-line like ours and some secondary like we have, and man, I'm telling you, I'm pumped. Obviously, we know Grimes is there. We know Jones is there. But Akins, man, I mean, we can't complain about that so far. I mean, he has
talent. Really well. That's another thing that I've neglected to talk about so far. He's been really stellar. And what people don't realize last season is when the people say, oh, the Dolphins suffered when Louis Dolmus went out last year, we had already lost Michael Thomas for the year. Michael Thomas was on IR at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have a pretty special group at safety, I would say.
Yeah, and I'm fine with obviously Bryce McCain and Taylor. I'm good. This defense is good, man. This defense is good. The line's playing better. One thing that concerned me a little last night is we saw a lot of – I mean, you looked at Tannehill's stats and you say, oh, those stats look good, but we did not get points from them a lot. That was concerning to me, I will say. You know, just, again, to bring it back a little, come off the hype train for a minute. So, I mean, I know it's just preseason. I know there could be a million reasons, but when you got the ball that much, you got those kind of stats, you should see some points come out of those kind of stats.
I wanted to see more of that. I mean, if we're looking at the plays for the team, we look at one third down, and it was third and long, they didn't convert. Then you look at the next set, another missed third down. I mean, it was third downs, and it was a little bit disheartening because previously we had seen them play so well on third downs. I mean, and not even just Tannehill. Something that Bill Lazor is doing with the scheme is helping the team out on third downs. I mean, remember last week there was a drive where Matt Moore had 4 third down conversions all to Matt Hazel.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Hazel's making this ball team, by the way.
I believe it. As a 6 wide receiver, I can see it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the top 4 guys. And interestingly, going off on a little tangent, Devontae Parker was in uniform last night. I put it on my Twitter. I was there. Devontae Parker came out with the team out of the tunnel in pads, in cleats, fully dressed, and was warming up with the team. I think Devontae Parker was pretty close to playing last night and then got put on the inactive list. I think we were pretty close to seeing a surprise, getting a surprise appearance from Devontae Parker last night. I don't think there would have been a reason for him to be in full pads otherwise.
Yeah, I think it was maybe it was just a sign, just a signal out there to say that, hey, he's getting close. Something for the fans, even, just to show him out in pads. Hey, he's getting close.
I thought maybe it was for the photography team, so they could have some photos of him in uniform in the stadium. But I didn't. I mean, I'm not sure about that. But it could have been a PR. But I don't think Joe Philbin has been known. Joe Philbin doesn't mess around with PR. You know, he doesn't do stuff like that. He wouldn't want Devontae Parker dressing up and running warm-ups just to send a message. I think that Devontae Parker was pretty close to hitting the field last night. You know, even if it was just for the first drive, just to get, because this is just to get the butterflies out, just to be able to have done it. And I think I'm not in favor of him playing in the preseason, and I don't, based on how well Kenny Stills and Jarvis have played, I don't know that we'll really need him until he's really ready to be a number two or three option. I don't know that the team will rush him back to play number four. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Hey, what have we heard about Pouncey's injury? Do we know anything?
Pouncey's injuries, based on what I've heard, he's getting MRIs done today, but I mean he sounded as confident as you'll hear anyone sound after an injury like that. I mean he really seemed okay.
Yeah, no, I just watching him on the sideline, I was sitting there thinking, okay, this is definitely not anything major. There's nothing they were super concerned about. They're just going to be cautious to see exactly what it is to know, okay, how do we want to treat it, for one? And how long do we need to hold him out, if we need to hold him out at all? Is he just going to stay out for the rest of the preseason? You know, things like that. I feel like that's really what the MRIs are probably about. Mostly
right, exactly.
To know exactly what's wrong so you know exactly how you want to treat it.
And other thing Dolphins fans should keep an eye out for in the next 2 days, we have cuts starting on teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some solid offensive linemen that are going to get cut in the next few days that the Dolphins could claim off of waivers. I know that there was an offensive lineman who had a pretty good week one in the preseason, Marcus Reed with the Chiefs. I'm not sure if it was him, but I mean, stuff like that are what we have to start looking out for as these cuts start. And the Dolphins are going to start cutting guys too.
That's true. Some of these cuts will be obvious. Names we'll barely remember or barely know. Maybe people that they'd even picked up and we didn't realize.
Some of them were so obvious. I mean, we saw Arthur Lynch get cut weeks ago.
Ah, man, he really disappointed me. And not that I thought he was going to be a big piece of the team, but I really thought he would come in and be a third or fourth tight end for us. That definitely didn't happen.
I think some of the guys at corner got a little bit lucky with Jamar Taylor's injury, because I think we're going to keep one extra guy around. But I don't know that Zach Bowman makes this team.
See, he's so good at special teams, though. And I kind of think that's why he was brought in to begin with. And he's got some experience. And behind that, if you let Bowman go, your experience is Bobby McCain and Tony Lippitt. If the crap goes down with injury, that's what you're looking at. So I'm going to say that Bowman makes it.
Bobby McCain and Tony, we can't keep all these guys. And I don't think that Bobby McCain or Tony Lippitt would clear waivers.
No, they wouldn't, but I have my 50. My 53 is what's most important here, not Joe Philbin's. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I have my 53 arranged to be able to keep all of them. Like, I had it where it made sense and you could keep them. And I did a lot of that based off what they did last year. They kept a lot of cornerbacks last year. They kept six cornerbacks last year.
I think they're going to keep six corners and six receivers. I think you're right about that. Who do you think they're going to cut at safety? I think Jordan Kovacs is probably going to get the axe.
Yeah, see, Kovacs definitely get the axe. See, I didn't think Thompson was going to make it when I did the initial 53, but that was before preseason. But now I think Thompson makes it.
He had a rough week against Carolina.
Yeah, he did, but I think they're going to give him a chance. I think he makes it because of Lewis Delmas going out, but maybe not. I don't know. It's still
Lewis Delmas on IR. I think we'll probably keep four safeties.
Yeah, I had him keeping four safeties anyway, so I was thinking maybe Thompson makes it.
So then it comes down to Cedric Thompson and Don Jones.
Yeah, see, Don Jones is a good... see, I didn't have him making the 53 either, but he's a good special teams player, and he has a little bit more experience. Maybe they cut Thompson, hope he clears waivers, and put him on the practice squad.
I think Don Jones might be a better bet to clear waivers just because he's third-year guy. Cedric Thompson's a rookie. They like teams like to claim the young guys.
But is Don Jones still... And see, I don't know exactly how practice squad eligibility always works. Is Don Jones still eligible for practice squad?
Yeah, I think he's still going to be eligible.
That might make sense. But then sometimes people might see, oh, I saw that guy in that game, and he was really good at special teams. We're really hurting there. I can make him my sixth guy, my sixth cornerback, my fifth. You know, it's still chancy.
A lot of times, what will happen, though, is that it's how fresh the college scouting is. Because guys look at Cedric Thompson, they say, oh, he went to Minnesota, pretty college, pretty good school for football, I guess. And then he's a rookie. They just scouted him last year. You know, they could bring him in because they just had their scout teams looking at him. Don Jones is 3 years removed from Arkansas State.
That's true.
So I don't think scouts are going to remember him so well.
But here's the thing. I'm still going to go back to special teams. If Don Jones is on your practice squad, he's not on your special teams. And I think that special teams is going to be important for them, which is why I think that Don Jones and Bauman stays, and I think Thompson goes.
From Bowman, the one play that I really remember from him from before he got to the Dolphins when he was with New York, They were playing against the Seahawks, and Marshawn Lynch was coming downhill at him. Zach Bowman backed up to avoid having to make contact with Marshawn Lynch. I am not a huge fan of having guys like that on a team that have been known to have motor issues in years past. It was a big issue with the Dolphins, and I don't love guys who make business decisions like that.
So avoiding contact, how Ted Ginn Jr. of him?
Right, exactly.
Oh, Ted Ginn Jr. Oh, how I loathe thee.
Yeah, I saw a kid walking around with Ted Ginn Jr. jersey on. I was so disheartening.
Yeah, man. I just think I'm going to go back to this. I'm all over the place today, man. I'm going to go back to the other fans of the other teams just don't see what's coming from Dolphins. They're just not seeing it. They're playing us in the preseason, and they're scratching their head. Man, what happened? Why did we play so bad? It couldn't have been because we were playing the Dolphins. That can't be the reason. There's got to be something else. Let me figure this out. No, sorry. Sorry, but you're looking at one of the best defenses in the NFL, period. You're looking at one of the best defenses in the NFL, and an offense that last year was 11th in points. So take an offense that was last year and 11th in points, and let's just give them 10 this year. I mean, I'm going to just give them 10th in points this year. And you take a defense that's going to be top 5 in scoring defense, so a top 5 scoring defense, a top 10 scoring offense, that's playoffs, and that could be playoffs and beyond, so... You know, time for the rest of the NFL to get real.
I said it last time I was with you. The teams that the Dolphins would play early in the playoffs are teams that we know. We know the Bengals, and we know the Colts, and we know the Steelers. We know these guys, and we could play them. And I don't just mean show up. I mean we could seriously play them.
Oh, for sure. And if we
won our first preseason game and then played New England in the divisional round, that would be interesting. Because we play New England pretty close.
Tom Brady's, and I've been trying to dig the stat up, and I say trying. I was trying to have it dug up for me and find it the easy way, but I guess I'm going to have to do it the hard way. I know for a fact, because I've read this, even in, I think, the game I went to last year, the Dolphins-Patriots game, that it said there in the little pamphlet, and I wish I kept it, it was something like 5 out of 8 of Tom Brady's worst games that he's had statistically have been against the Dolphins. The Dolphins know how to play. We're 2-2. Aren't we 2-1 against them in the last 3 games? If I'm not mistaken, I believe that we are.
Yes, we beat them late in the season last year,
or 2 years ago.
At home, then early. Yeah, 2 years ago we beat them late in the season.
We beat them. How many times did the Patriots lose twice in a row to the same team? I bet you that hasn't happened very often.
That hasn't happened actually, and we were the first time in 10 years that they lost a season opener.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And this team is so much better now. I mean, we can beat the Patriots. I'm sorry, but I don't think you could put a team in front of us that we can't beat. Now, I'm not going to say we will beat every team every time.
Right, right. There's not a team on paper that the Dolphins can't match up with, and that is an outstanding feeling.
Yeah, it's just true, but no one wants to see that. No one wants to accept that. No one wants to believe that. I'm just wondering how long into the season it's going to take. It'll take to the, you know what? It'll take till we beat the Patriots middle of the season and we're like, you know, we have a good record, we're leading the division, and we're beating the Patriots in the middle of the season. Well, people will be like, oh, okay, these Dolphins are all right. And then they'll just say we were last year. They'll just try and say we were 2 years ago Chiefs or something. You know, they'll try and say some crap.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That. Yeah, whatever. Whatever, man. Let's get real excited here and talk about some kickers and some punters. I know you've been dying to talk about it.
Oh, God. You must have been reading my tweets. I haven't stopped on this. This has been haunting my nightmares, this kicker decision.
Give it to me, man. What are you thinking? What are we doing here?
I don't think Caleb Sturgis is going to do anything for this team. I mean, like, what has he done so far? His leg isn't going to get better after a groin tear and a strained quad. I mean, honestly, if... I think that based on what we've seen from Andrew Franks, I think he's as good an option as any.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should roll with him. I think we should roll with Andrew Franks and Brandon Fields as the kicker-punter combo for this year. And I think we should cut Caleb Sturgis.
I would go. I'm down. Right, let's do it. Because I don't think Sturgis has gotten me very excited about anything, honestly. I mean,
Andrew Franks has some serious talent. He has a serious leg.
I mean, let's do it. In my opinion, I'm not saying Sturgis is horrible, but he isn't good, so it really wouldn't be that much worse. It really wouldn't be like, oh, that was the worst decision ever. Oh. The worst decision ever was getting rid of Carpenter and keeping Sturgis.
That was, God, I can't believe we did that. Dan Carpenter was awesome.
Jeff Ireland, he's the man. New Orleans is going down. They're gonna spend 10 years digging out of the crap he puts
them. Did you hear the New Orleans signed Michael Agnew and then cut him 2 weeks later?
Yeah, because he was like, oh, Michael Agnew's free. You got to sign him, man. You got to sign him. And I could see him right now. All I know is if you go out on the street and try and find an athlete that's 6 foot so-and-so and runs so-and-so, you can't find him. They're like, all right, let's bring him in. After 2 weeks, he sucks. And Jeff, I'm starting to think you suck too. That's probably how that conversation went.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, you look at the last 2 years of draft picks for the team. I mean, we've seen some good stuff from this year's draft class already in the preseason. It's way too early to say anything. I mean, I think Devontae Parker is kind of like Juwan James from last year, where he's not a sure thing, but he's as safe of a pick as you can get. I mean, last year's draft class was pretty outstanding at the top of the draft for Hickey. And for, I mean, this year, I don't know how Tannenbaum affected the draft. I think Tannenbaum had a bigger impact on free agency. But...
Yes, definitely. I agree with that. I mean, dude, shoot. Last year, look at who he nabbed in the seventh round, Fide. Tell me Fide is not doing great. He's looked great. For second year out of what?
Harris.
Come
on. He got a Maris. And people don't remember last season, he's the guy who blocked the punt in the Vikings game.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the guy who blocked the punt in the Vikings game. He came out of Maris. And also last year, the most underrated pickup, Damian Williams as an undrafted.
Yeah, I'm stoked about him. I feel like him and Miller, that's great.
This year with Hull and Vigil, we could have three undrafted rookies and one seventh round pick from a D3 school in the last 2 years on this football team playing.
Yeah. And Hickey's done well. I mean, he's done well to find.
He drafted really well in Tampa too. Let's not forget, I mean, he drafted talent in Tampa.
You have to give me some examples because that team hasn't been very good.
Okay, I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, take your time. If we have to pause, I can always edit it out.
No, it's all good. And so, yeah, I mean, when we look back at last year's draft, I thought it was a really solid group. And essentially, I know you're not an Omar fan, but one thing I believe that he's right about is that you need two high-level starters and then two or three contributors. And I think you look at our draft from last year, and that's what we got.
No, for sure. And that goes for any team. If you look at any draft, and you look at a year's draft, and you've got a couple starters and a couple contributors, you had a good draft. You get beyond that, you had a great draft. Honestly.
Right, exactly.
And everyone has bad drafts. You can look at drafts from Bill Belichick over the past 10 years, and there are two or three drafts that 5 years later there wasn't a player still on the team. Not one.
Yeah.
So everyone has some bad drafts. See, what got us into trouble? Go ahead.
I've got some Dennis Hickey drafts from when he was in Tampa. Gerald McCoy.
Okay. Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah. Doug Martin, who is, mind you, I think he's one of the biggest sleepers this season. I think he's been injured, but I think he's come back. Levante David.
The muscle hamster.
Yeah, Levante David late in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty good pick. He drafted Aqib Talib.
Okay, that's talent.
Talent-wise, Aqib Talib is as good as any of the guys in the league. It's just if he can keep his head straight.
He's in Denver. He's in Denver now, right? That's where he went last year?
Yep. Yeah. Drafted Mike Williams, the receiver in the third round, who played really well.
And then just fizzled out, like the guy disappeared.
Right, he just disappeared randomly. But I think you can probably blame that on work ethic and not talent. He drafted a player who could get it done in the league. And then his last draft in Tampa, before he got to Miami, he picked Jonathan Banks, who's an okay corner. They didn't have a first-round pick because they traded it for Revis.
Mm-hmm.
So he also got Mike Glennon in the third round, who wasn't a great quarterback, but, I mean, as a third-round backup kind of guy, I don't take issue with taking Mike Glennon. I mean, if the Dolphins took a quarterback in the fourth round next year, I would have no problem with that to get rid of Matt Moore.
And the thing we got to consider, really, since he came to Miami, it's the first place where he really had autonomy. Do I have the right word? Did I use it the right way? You're the college guy? Tell me.
There you go.
He had full autonomy on what he wanted to do with the draft.
Jeff Ireland came from the Bill Parcells school of, that guy's just a football player, and looking like that. Dennis Hickey brought numbers. Dennis Hickey is huge into measurables and science.
Analytics. Yeah, he's a big analytics guy. You're right about that.
He's very involved in analytics. He brought that to Tampa, and then he brought it to Miami. They have dozens of people on staff whose job are to break these college football players down with numbers.
Yeah.
And I think it's an awesome system. I love that. I think, you know, you saw that movie about the Oakland A's guy, the Moneyball movie. I think it's kind of like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I see what you're saying. And you're talking about Michael Bean. What's his name? Is it Michael? I'm trying to say Michael Bean. Is that his name? Billy Bean. Billy.
I don't even know. I'm just so glad that I don't have to watch baseball on ESPN now that football's back.
Oh, that's true. Hey, I want to read a tweet because I sent out there. I've been doing this the last couple of shows. I sent out there, hey, anybody want to tweet me or tweet something for the show? Normally I get, like, last time I got a lot, and this time I got one, so I don't know. Maybe I'm going downhill. Maybe the show's just being horrible. Just kidding. But I think this time, actually, I did it, like, right, like, kind of last minute. But
okay,
this one's from D-Bolt. I'm sorry, D-Bolt. I want to get it right, D-Bolt. D-Bolt 48, and that's what he has both ways, so I don't know his actual name, unless his name is D-Bolt. People may not want to hear it, but the young pieces on the OL have really developed. Turner, Dallas Thomas, and Douglas are playing well. Yes, they've had a few bumps in the preseason, but overall their growth has been good. Let them develop and reap the benefits. So I do want to hear it, actually, DeBolt. I do want to hear it. That's what I've been praying I hear. I don't.
We have entered the twilight zone.
Where I know, man.
Dallas Thomas is a good offensive lineman. I was watching one play last night where he got off the line, blocked one guy, ran about 5 yards more, and threw another guy on the ground. And I was out of my seat. I was like, who was that? Who was that guy? And it was Dallas Thomas. And I sat back down, and I was like, what's going on? Where am I?
Yeah.
Like, what world have I stumbled into?
Oh, man, we'll take it. I mean, it's like bonus. It's like
extra
icing on the cake. You know, we weren't expecting that. We weren't expecting good play from some of these guys that are stepping up and giving us good play. that's the difference between a good team and a really good team. Is when those second level kind of guys, you know what I mean? They step up and start to make big contributions when you really weren't even looking for them to. You know,
right.
You were just kind of hoping they'd be a little okay.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, well, Earl Mitchell's another guy like that. I mean, you were thinking he's the fourth piece on the line, just don't stink. And I'll show you don't stink. I'm going to step up and be like a Pro Bowler.
Imagine how good Paul Soliai would be if we still had kept him around.
Yeah.
On this defensive line. I miss Paul Soliai.
He was good,
man.
Yeah,
he was cool.
I'm sure he likes being in Atlanta, though, but he was good. That's for sure.
I liked having him around. He was also good. He was the fun guy on the team. He was cool.
Going back a little bit on the whole draft thing, what I was going to say is where the Dolphins got in big trouble, and the reason we were 1-15, beyond, I mean, there's a lot of reasons we were 1-15, but one of the big things was if you look back at Dave Wannstedt's drafts, and then by the time you got to, and even Saban, but by the time you got to Cam Cameron, nobody on that team had been drafted. I mean, all those entire drafts were just like gone. You had like 1, 2, 3 guys. You just had a bunch.
The 2006 draft is what killed us. We only had 5 picks, and 2 of them were Jason Allen, Rodrigue Wright.
Yeah, there was so many bad drafts during the Wannstedt years, from what 2000 to 2005, 6, right there. There was entire drafts not even on the team by the time Cam Cameron walked in. And when you see that kind of thing start to happen on any team, I'm like, if you're a fan of any team, and I know almost exclusively Dolphins fans listen to this podcast, but there's a few others out there, that is the sign to look for. When you start to see drafts from 3, 4, 5 years ago, and there's not a player on the team from those drafts, unless you've got a top-notch quarterback or something, be scared. Be scared.
That's
your team is getting ready
to
get into it.
Well,
you're getting ready to have an ultimately bad season.
Because the only guys that stayed on the team were Paul Soliai and Brandon Field. I mean, you look. Then recently, you see where it started to turn, and you can see it right here in 2010. I'm looking at all of our drafts. Kouamisi in the 2nd round, Rashad Jones in the 5th round in 2010.
And we had Audric. Wasn't Audric out of that too?
Audric was the 1st rounder.
Because we could have taken Earl. I remember we could have drafted Earl Thomas at the 11th spot, but we traded down, took Audric, and we gained a 2nd round pick so we could also get Kouamisi. It was actually, again, I've said this before about Ireland. Maybe he wasn't always the best talent evaluator, but the dude knew how to win some trades. I'll give him that.
Yep. I mean, but I will say his draft in 2012 and 2011 set us up for a little bit of our success. I mean, we had Charles Clay, Mike Pouncey, Tannehill, Lamar Miller, and Olivier Vernon all come from those drafts, but the misses were absolutely catastrophic in Jonathan Martin and Michael Agnew in the 2nd and 3rd rounds. And I just want to say, after reading what Jonathan Martin said this week, there's no ill will between me, and I regret some of the things that I've said about Jonathan Martin. I think that Richie Incognito's sense of humor might have taken it a little bit too far, but I don't think Incognito was being malicious. And I think Incognito came out and said it, and I think it was a little bit of a teaser for the whole issue this offseason. He said, "I hold no ill will towards the Miami Dolphins."
Yeah.
I think it was a league issue. And I can feel, I mean, I'm going to say it, Dolphins fans are going to hate on me for it. I can feel for Patriots fans a little bit, because I felt gypped by Ted Wells too.
Yeah, I got you on that aspect. I see the Ted Wells. Hey, I'm not telling you that something didn't go down with Deflategate, because obviously, you know, personally, I believe 1000% it did. But I still think you could take that Ted Wells report and wipe your butt with it.
I believe that something happened. I mean, honestly, I don't care if Tom Brady deflates footballs, because if it had happened to Ryan Tannehill, everyone would have said, who cares? But I think I don't hate Roger Goodell as much as most people, but I think you need to get Ted Wells out of that league office.
Yeah, I have a feeling that you're, because of the stigma with that now with Wells, and, you know, other people in the Dolphins lost their jobs. I mean, at least Incognito's
Turner,
got to play.
Tim Turner, the offensive line coach.
Okay, well, I'm going to say he wasn't. He sucked.
He was actually okay, I will say. I mean, Jake Long was good when he was on the team. Jake Long was a good offensive lineman. And there were a few years there, the Chad Henne years, when we had a really sick offensive line, but no one to stand behind it. And then it's like the 2nd Tannehill walks in.
It all fell apart. Yeah, it did all fall apart when Tannehill came in. But Joe Turner was coaching that first year of Tannehill on that horrible line where he got sacked like 70 times too. I mean, either way, whether he was good or not good, the performance of the O-line demanded that he should be fired anyway. But the head trainer, and I don't recall his name, that was considered like the best trainer in the league, he lost his job over that stupid Ted Wells report. And that's the guy that should be suing, not Turner, if you ask me.
I've got a feel for Jonathan
Kevin O'Neill. I think his name was Kevin O'Neill. Do I have that right?
I didn't remember the last name, so I think it could be. I got a feel a little bit for Jonathan Martin. I mean, at the end of the day, I think he became the scapegoat. And I think it ruined – I mean, let's be real about one thing, though. He was not a good offensive lineman.
No, he
was
not a good player. Right now, there's two players, Jonathan Martin and Incognito. One of them's in the league. The other isn't. That's all I got to say.
And Incognito was a very good player had the perfect attitude on that offensive line. Can you imagine if we had Richie Incognito still right now at left guard? Because he'd still be on the team.
Oh, yeah, he'd still be on the team.
Richie loved Miami. He loved the team. I really think he liked Philbin. And I think that Incognito would have taken, you know, the $2.5 million a year deals, because he's not a Lamborghini kind of guy. He's a blue collar. He's a football player.
Mm-hmm. I heard he likes to bash Lamborghinis with his baseball bat. I don't know if you mean that.
I'd like to do that.
Maybe that's what you mean. He's not a Lamborghini kind of guy. He's a smash.
No, right, exactly. Something made him mad.
I don't even know that it was Lamborghinis, actually.
I think it was a Lamborghini, actually. It's so funny I said that. I mean, I think that is.
Okay. All right. Hey, let's talk about these. You wanted to talk about the Madden ratings. Now, I will say this. I'm going to preface this conversation with, and I'm really sorry about this, guys. I have not played Madden football since Madden, and no, you're about to hear this right, I swear, since Madden 93 on Sega Genesis. Sega! That's the last time I played Madden football. So, Max, this is all you, man. Talk to us about
it. That was before there were cover athletes. I just Googled it. We have John Madden on the cover of that game.
No, there was no cover athletes. In fact, there wasn't names on that. It was just numbers. That was
it. It was not licensed by the league. Oh, so it was kind of like how the NCAA game is now. Where, like, the Dolphins would have number 13 with 99 arm strength, but it wouldn't be Dan Marino.
Exactly. It would just be a number 13 guy. Yeah, that was it. That's how it was when we played it. And the strengths and weaknesses of the teams were still, you know, nothing like it is now, I'm sure. But I probably couldn't even pick up a controller and figure out how to start the game now. I know they have, you play whole seasons, you draft teams. Man, I just want to pick up and play. That's probably why I stopped. I don't know. No, I stopped because I don't know.
I'll run you through a few of the ratings that I...
Go for it.
First, I'll start out for a positive. The Miami Dolphins are a lot more fun to play with in this year's game because Jordan Cameron is unstoppable. And the game has made it so everyone makes one-handed catches. They're still trying to stroke Odell Beckham Jr. And so everyone is diving backwards with one hand up and catching the ball. And so if you throw the ball in the seam with Tannehill's 92 throw power and his 86 medium throw accuracy, whatever it is, if you're a Dolphins fan playing Madden, use Jordan Cameron a lot. I mean, I'm halfway through my first year in the franchise mode, and he's got like 75 catches in week 8.
That's hilarious.
I swear. And Lamar Miller, they criminally underrated. He fumbles every 3 carries. And other fans who have played the game, I've talked to a lot of them, they've said the same thing. Lamar Miller's criminally underrated. You also look, Jamar Taylor was a 68. He was behind Will Davis. Mike Pouncey was an 84, 85, the 13th best center in the league, or the 10th best center in the league.
Yeah.
Olivier Vernon was like an 80. Juwan James was a 72. I don't know if they just looked at his number or something. I mean, I know he wore 72 for a little bit and then was 70. But I don't know what's happening with these ratings. It could be the AFC Northeast again. I'll Google right now where EA Sports is based. They're the makers of the game.
The AFC Northeast. Thanks for you remembered that.
They're based in Vancouver.
That's the AFC North. Northeast A?
Right, exactly. The AFC Northeast.
AFC Northeast.
We'll see. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of New England Patriots fans up there in Canada. I don't know why, but I know there are.
Because they're bandwagoners. Buffalo Bills.
Canadian Football League, the Montreal Alouettes are the best team in Madden 15, I'm telling you. 16. But, so, yeah, the Dolphins are more fun to play as, and Ndamukong Suh is an absolute madman. And I will say, a lot of the way that these teams gain national recognition, the power of Madden should not be understated in football. Young fans pick up the game, and they see, oh, and Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake, and they play as the Dolphins, and they learn the Dolphins, and they start to like the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It's how it happens. I have a friend who he's not a football fan at all, but the one thing he always remembers is we would play, and it was like Madden 09. It was the one where the default was the Steelers and the Cardinals, so we would always play that. And he still asks me how Larry Fitzgerald is doing. He always throws to Larry Fitzgerald. He still asks me. So that's the power of these games. People who aren't huge fans of the team get exposure to the team. And I think it's a they did Ryan Tannehill accurately. They did do Ryan Tannehill well. His skill set, they did him dirty on the deep ball.
Well,
they gave him like
okay, well, you got to get, you know, what are you going to say on that? No, he throws it great. I mean, he got to start to throw it great to show that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we
but
still haven't.
Wallace,
I'm sorry.
I'll
go ahead.
Same game you played with me last week. You asked me some questions. You know what Mike Wallace's average yards per catches have been in his 2 weeks in Minnesota?
Average yards per catch?
Four.
I don't know. Are you serious? Yeah. Four
yard reception. He was averaging 3.5. He's trending up. He's 3.5, 4. He's coming up. All that hard work he was supposedly putting in is paying off.
Yeah. So what's going on? I mean, I haven't been paying attention to Mike Wallace because I really don't care about him anymore. But what's going on with that guy? Is he apparently not doing so well? Are fans complaining about him? Are they saying it's just preseason? He needs to gel with the quarterback.
Teddy Bridgewater is a better deep ball than Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, yes.
Teddy Bridgewater is more capable of hitting him downfield. I'll look up his exact stats, but I saw one play where he just absolutely just completely pulled a Mike Wallace in the same way that Dolphins fans know him to drop the ball. I mean, it was like one where he might have had to like dive a little bit for it, but he just didn't feel like it because why? He's Mike Wallace. He's above playing hard-nosed football.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just love the mentality of Jarvis Landry and what he does. Jarvis Landry is exactly what this team needs. Jarvis Landry is exactly what this football team needs. Have you seen this preseason one guy tackle Jarvis Landry?
Nah, it's pretty hard to do.
he's so determined. He just makes plays. And then Greg Jennings has fit in remarkably with the team. I mean, I was there watching him on the sideline last night because I was standing pretty close down there, watching him interact with the other receivers and like clowning around with Ryan Tannehill. Like, he's fitting in really well, and Tannehill seems like he's starting. The game has slowed down enough for him that Tannehill can kind of work with the team. I mean, when Pouncey went down, Tannehill walked back to the trainer's bench and was talking to him for a few minutes. I saw Tannehill coaching up Landry on some stuff with routes. I saw him talking to Rishard Matthews after that one miscommunication where I think it was supposed to be a comeback and Matthews ran the streak. I really think that Tannehill is, and I think it was Armando Salguero, great beat reporter for the Miami Herald. If any Dolphins fans don't follow him on Twitter or read some of his articles, I highly recommend it. He's a really great journalist. He was saying this team is Ryan Tannehill.
That's the way it needs to be, man.
Yep.
It needs to be Tannehill on the offense and Sue on the defense.
Yep, exactly. And I mean, I think that it's kind of funny. You see this Ndamukong Suh thing, this Ndamukong Suh Cameron Wake paradigm. And I got to tell you, I hated when Heat fans threw away Dwayne Wade because LeBron showed up. We still got to show love because Cameron Wake has been there since day one. Cameron Wake is still our guy, much like Dwayne Wade is for the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Wake is always going to be our man.
He's still performing at such a high level, too.
He's my favorite player on the team. Still wears jersey almost every game. I absolutely love him.
My favorite player is Juice. Jarvis Landry is my favorite player on the team. No doubt.
I've got to say, actually, I have to correct myself. My favorite player on this team is John Denny. Who
has he got his jersey?
Oh, I do have his jersey. My brother got it for me for my birthday this year.
That's swear hilarious. To God. Well, why is he your favorite player?
Consistency, man.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I grew up, mind you, I don't remember the Dan Marino days. I was born in 96.
No, so you don't remember the Dan Marino days.
I didn't grow up in a football household. My dad was a Baltimore Colts fan.
Jeez.
And had his heart broken by that team. So the only consistent fixtures for me have been Cameron Wake, Brandon Fields, and John Denny. John Denny is getting paid more this season. Now, I'm not going to get this wrong. I'm going to make sure I get this exactly correct for you. He's getting paid more than Jarvis. He's getting paid more than Jelani Jenkins. Getting paid more than Walt Akins. Getting paid more than Jameel Douglas. He's a star. He is a star on this team. John Denny.
He's a very good long. He is a very good long snapper. I will say that. It doesn't exactly get me excited, brother. But
he's been on the team since 05. Who else has been there since Cam Cameron?
Okay,
he's been there since Saban.
All right, I'm gonna Max. I'm gonna speak to the listeners right now. Okay, everybody. Okay. This is the result of what happens when you suck for a decade. You end up with people born in the 90s whose favorite player is the long snapper. Okay. That this is the result of that. It's the turnaround's coming, guys. Let's get excited here. People are going to grow up and Sue's going to be their favorite player.
I joke about it a little bit just because, like, I always remember I would always struggle another Madden reference. Madden automatically, like, they just cut the players with the lowest ratings if you simulate through the preseason. They would always cut John Denny. And I was like, no, bring him back. Like, his rating was 52, but his long snap was like a 98. And I would always, like, have to cut someone else and re-sign him. But, I mean, I'm really lucky that I wasn't born 8 years earlier than I was, because my cousin Zach, who got me into the Dolphins, I have to thank him for all of this, or curse him for all of this. He like barely remembers the late days of Marino, or he remembers them, but he was around for the very late days. And then he had to deal with 10 years of nonsense. I'm lucky that my first year of being really into the Dolphins was the Wildcat.
Oh man, now that's a way to get introduced to the Dolphins. I mean, it hasn't been beautiful since, but
my first
those
jersey,
Wildcat
my
days were so up. Much fun.
He probably doesn't even remember this. My uncle Marty might have gotten it for me. Someone in my family got me an orange Ricky Williams jersey,
mm-hmm.
and I still have it in my closet. I don't wear it anymore.
Now wait a minute. Does it say Williams or R. Williams?
R. Williams.
Oh,
R. Williams.
Dude, take the R off, and then you got Damian Williams, 34. Williams.
I did a long piece about Damian Williams, a little bit of a long form article earlier this week, and I wrote that. I said, it's so cool looking. We have 34 Williams running again. But it wouldn't fit me. It was a kid's jersey.
Oh.
But
I didn't really take that into account.
Maybe my girlfriend could wear it to the game or something. But, I mean, she's even luckier. She just showed up to being a Dolphins fan. This is, like, her first year really following it. And she's like, oh, wow, is it always this exciting? I'm just like, no.
No. This is kind of new for us. Well, renewed. New for some. Kind of renewed for others.
We got lucky. I know Unsquished the Fish, which has been awesome the first few episodes. I've listened to all of it. It's great. It's new this year, too. So is my website. The Deep End Miami just started this March to cover the draft a little bit. I was really interested in a few prospects. And we both came on board at the right time. I mean, this team.
I tried to do this a couple of years ago, but I knew so little of podcasting. I literally just ended up I would tell a secret here. Like the secret was then, because I didn't really have very good equipment. In fact, I'm staring at the microphone I used 2 years ago because I can still use it as a USB mic if I'm on someone else's podcast or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they said the secret is to make your sound good is to get into a really confined space. And I thought, really confined space? My wife's closet's really confined. All that clothing in there, it'll take all the echo. So I literally had this tiny little table with a microphone and a laptop trying to record my podcast that I didn't even have the ability to bring people into. It was just me talking. I wasn't on iTunes. No one heard this thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only ones heard it, like, me and a couple of my friends. And then I was just like, I got frustrated because it stunk so bad. So then A couple years later, fast forward, I reboot, and here I am.
I was just on there. Walt Akins just made a SpongeBob reference. He's my new favorite player on the team. I mean, there's some great stuff that goes on Dolphins Twitter. I mean, there are some people who are absolutely awful on Dolphins Twitter, mind you. I'm not going to name any names, but I know you and I have had conversations about some of the people who we frequently interact with who we would rather not.
Oh,
but,
can I say, did you catch my battle with Meeko Grimes a couple nights ago?
I agree with you a little bit about the Meeko Grimes thing. I think that she's trying to get a reaction, and I think it works. But I mean, I've seen it, and I think she has a reason. You know, it's kind of like if a dog bites you because it's been beaten by someone before. I mean, she's had, like, if you read her mentions, people will say awful stuff about her and her husband.
Oh, I'll say this is what happened. I saw somebody, I don't follow her, but someone that I follow retweeted something she said that kind of got under my skin, because it was the same thing about her saying it, what her real is talking about Tannehill. It's real. So all I said to her was, and I quoted her tweet, "Oh, to be a fly on the wall when you and Lauren get together in a room. I'm sure you would love it if Lauren Tannehill went on the radio every weekend and blasted your man on the radio." And oh, that's all I said to her. She went off. She called me a bum. She called me an idiot. She told me to pull up my skirt. I mean, she went back at me for like 15 tweets. I mean, I had just left it alone, man. She kept going at me, and then I really got her mad. I said, "Oh, by the way, so now that we don't have Evan Mathis, do you still think our team is rebuilding?" Because she said that multiple times. And oh, did the claws come out. But then what happened was, and I see why her claws do come out on this case, some other people got involved in it. People that I guess one of them was a follower of mine. And he said something I will absolutely not repeat on this radio. I will not repeat it on this show.
I've heard people say words to her that I would never say to anybody.
I blocked him. I've never blocked anyone before, and he didn't even say it to me. So I said to her, "I hope you know, because my name was attached to it. Unfortunately, he said it to both of us." And I said, I told her, "I hope you know that did not come from me."
People, watch out who you tag in your mentions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know if someone says, like, I've disagreed with things Omar Kelly has said, but you still have to respect him because he is in the position he's in. And I don't get in fights where people are saying Omar is such a bum and they're tagging him. I don't like doing it with players either. People get in an argument about this player sucking and they'll tag them.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. That's rude. Unless you're speaking to them and telling them you suck, don't do that. It's improper Twitter etiquette.
But it'll be like, I'll put up a GIF. Right, I put up a GIF of Jarvis Landry this morning, and I was like, Jarvis Landry is absolutely unfair, and I tagged him in it because he is unfair. He's so good. Like, but it right, I think Miko, and I will preface this, I'm season ticket mates with her this year. She's like three rows in front of us. And which is fun. She's, you know, my parents like having the club level stuff and it's fun. I really enjoy it too, but we got to get the energy in it. And so it's fun having someone else yelling, but I understand where she's coming from in terms of self-defense. I really do. But I think that it is hurtful to some of the fans when she goes on a complete, and it can be called a rampage at times. I mean, do you remember when she got in a fight with, I forget exactly who it was, but it was a while ago and it was a big one.
Yeah, I heard that. That's kind of what put her on the map a little bit, but apparently this was kind of before I was really on Twitter a lot, so I missed it.
Bleacher Report did an article about her too. Bleacher Report did an article. If no one knows who Miko Grimes is at this point, obviously I'm sure you've caught on that it's Brent Grimes' wife.
Yeah.
I would go on Google Miko Grimes Bleacher Report, M-I-K-O Grimes Bleacher Report, and look at the article. It's the first result, Miko Grimes, the NFL's great truth teller.
Yeah.
And she has some good points.
I saw the article, but I didn't read it.
The NFL, her basic point, one thing she said about the league that really resonated with me, the league picks its players who are their pet players. And for example, they won't show Brent Grimes' crazy one-handed interception because Calvin Johnson is one of their pet players.
That's true. I believe that. That makes sense.
And they do the same thing. Cameron Wake, they do the same thing with J.J. Watt. Cameron Wake is the same exact struggle to success story. Didn't make it with the Giants, ended up in the CFL.
Mm-hmm.
Tried out for the Dolphins, got it, and has been a Pro Bowler ever since. And I think she's right that the league doesn't respect Brent Grimes enough.
No, that's true, because I've seen, I mean, he just gets most of the rankings as far as the best corners and all that. He gets dogged, but when the other players?
He was like an 87 in Madden.
Is that, I don't know, is that good?
That's not good for who he is.
So he should be in the 90s is what you're saying.
He should be in the low 90s. I will look up right now the top cornerback ratings.
And but, yeah, do you mind telling me too? I'm curious because this has always been a sore in my thigh. Where is Sean Smith and Vontae Davis? Are they anywhere in the top 20? If you can see it while you're looking.
Vontae Davis is a 95 overall.
And he should be. He was good. And I understand it's a philosophy of zone versus man. But,
and Sean Smith is a 91. Sean Smith is a 91.
Thank you. They're two of the best. I knew when we drafted them, we had a chance to have two of the best, one of the best pairs of corners in the league. We let them go, and they're two of the best corners in the league.
You know, Jeff Ireland, as much as he knows, I didn't want to disagree about you with it earlier, But you remember on Hard Knocks, you remember Vontae calling his grandma.
He goes, let me call my grandmama first before you call your grandmother.
Guess who that second round pick turned into?
Jonathan Hart. Oh, jeez. That didn't go so well, huh?
No, that didn't. But, I mean, I think, honestly, also Joe Haden got disrespected in Madden. I mean, if he's below Sherman, Revis, Vontae Davis, Chris Harris, and Sean Smith.
What's his name? The guy from Arizona. Is it Patrick Peterson? Do I have that name right?
Patrick Peterson's not on there either. Wait, what?
He doesn't belong on there. Let me explain to you. He doesn't belong on there, people. It's all phony. Omar, sorry, brother. He's an athlete. He's not that great. Look at how many touchdowns he's... Just look at his stats and how many touchdowns he's been burned for over the past, like, 3 years. It's like 20 or some crazy number like that. He gets burned all the time. He doesn't deserve that. I have a new slang word. He doesn't deserve that shine that he's been getting. Sorry.
Ooh, that's a good word.
I only know it because Miko said it to me, so that's how I learned it. I had to ask somebody what does this tweet mean. She said something about giving him shine. Oh, you know what it was?
My dad was talking to me once, and we had a security guard at our school, and he was talking about an argument that some parent had with him. He goes, "She was jacked, man." And we, like, my dad thought he maybe meant, like, muscular, and so I use that expression now to mean, like, angry. You were jacked.
So when me and her are going back and forth, a few of the people that follow me said, "You should get her on the show, man. She should go on your show." They said it to both of us. She goes, "I ain't going on this sucker's show and give him no shine." That's what she said. And I was like, what does that mean?
That's funny. Yeah. One thing I will say regarding Omar and Miko Grimes, I do think it's a little bit of a conflict of interest that Omar does a show with a player's wife. Just because I don't think he can be as unbiased as...
He gets too close to some of the players.
I think he's unfair on Twitter. Did you see that great thing with Jamar Taylor? When he was like, Jamar Taylor left the practice field, likely going to get MRIs. And Jamar Taylor responds, "I'm in the pool, dude. Jesus Christ."
Yes, I'm in the pool, dude. Jesus. Yes, Omar. There's a Twitter handle called Omar Mistakes or Omar Kelly Mistakes. If you look up Omar Mistakes on Twitter, you'll find it. I don't follow him, but sometimes I'll see him retweeted. I should follow it just because it's funny. And he put that on there. That's one of his few, like, last four or five tweets that Omar Kelly said, "Must be going to get an MRI." And he said, "I'm in the pool, Jesus."
I like having Omar better than I would like having a boring beat writer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it makes it more interesting. And I really think some of the stuff he says is valid.
Oh, yeah, he has good information. And I've said, I still follow him. I still retweet him. I've kind of pushed up to the line a bit sometimes when I tweet him, but I've never been disrespectful. So he hasn't blocked me, at least not yet. Although I have seen him blocked... A few days ago, about a week or two ago, people started sending me, the ones who had kept it, maybe screenshotted it, had kept the tweets where Omar had blocked them for whatever reason. And one guy said to a couple of different writers, "You guys are giving this, and this information. Meanwhile, Omar's busy talking about rap albums." But unfortunately, he did the thing you said not to do. Unless you're talking to them, don't mention them. He mentioned them. And he said, "And now you get blocked. You'll find I have little patience." I just thought it was
And you know, there was a little feud. You know, there was a little feud last year between Omar and Armando, because Armando got into it with Miko Grimes a little bit, and Omar backed Miko.
He's some blogger. Yeah, I've talked about this before on the show. They said, "Oh, he's some blogger." Some blogger? Dude, you're in the room with him in the press conference room for the last five years. Talk about some blogger.
Right. Armando. Armando also is a really good – I think Omar is a great – Omar and Armando are both good journalists, because I think they reveal, like you said, information. I think Dolphins Twitter is one of the more fun groups online.
Sure. We're a sensitive bunch.
We are not only a sensitive bunch, but we're also an active bunch. I mean, I know you and I have a lot of the same people that we interact with pretty consistently.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, we have a lot of fun. And I think if you're a Dolphins fan, I recommend it to another friend. If you're listening to this, I think a lot of people listen to this because they follow you on Twitter. But if someone doesn't have Twitter who's listening to this, and you're a Dolphins fan, get a Twitter. Go to either the people that I follow. You can go to the at the Deep End Miami or at Unsquish the Fish. Look at the people we follow. Follow some of them and watch the hilarity that ensues in just the first 24 hours of Dolphins talk. And it's a really, really fun.
Yeah, go. Yeah, just go to and follow us, and then go to the people we interact. Just look through our tweets and look at the people we interact with, and there's all you go. I mean, and there you go. You'll see the interesting, and some of them are very positive. And man, I have some people that follow me that every time they tweet me, it is something negative about our team. It drives me nuts. I still interact with them. Their opinion's still valid. And then there's a couple people that are so absolutely negative. We could win the Super Bowl, and they would say that the coach stinks. I mean, there's just people like that, but you get all kinds of people on Twitter. For sure. From everywhere. I mean, some of these people are in Utah and California, and you know, they're not just in South Florida.
You get to interact with the players.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes you do. And
I had an interaction with Jordan Cameron the other day, which I ended with, of course, go Bruins because he went to USC.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun. I mean, you get to. I know a lot of the old Dolphins guys, Troy Dayton's on there a lot, Sam Madison. Chris McCain's pretty active on Twitter, too.
He's kind of crazy, man. He's going to get himself in trouble.
But he's cool. Have you seen the thing that he does with the little kids before the game?
No.
Every week, Chris McCain takes a little kid from either the stands or the sideline and takes him down and walks him around the field, introduces him to all the other players, like says, like, hey, here's Ryan Tannehill, Cameron Wake, and Dominican Sue.
That's cool.
And then gives him back to his parents.
Oh, that's cool. That's special for them. Hey, I do want to.
Yeah, he does every game.
I do want to say something that if what Miko is telling me, and this is actually true, she was actually telling me like via Twitter, is true, I have to give Lauren Tannehill credit. After I did that tweet to Miko, she said she's been around Lauren a bunch of times. They've even had, you know, I guess several social interactions, and they get along great. Well, I'm going to give credit to Lauren because I don't know how much I would like it if I, you know, if somebody was putting I won't say my husband because I don't have a husband, my wife on blast all the time on the radio.
Say,
how friendly I'd be.
I don't listen to it as much as you think. I think Ryan Tannehill, I don't know how much he listens to it. You know, he doesn't have a big social media presence. He's not on Twitter a lot. He's not on Facebook a lot. I don't know that Ryan Tannehill gets all this stuff, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, I know, you know, Andrew Luck still uses a flip phone.
Yeah, they do get buried into their work, no doubt. I mean, especially the quarterbacks, because the quarterbacks are working more than anybody. That's just fact. They're putting in more time than just about anybody, probably anybody. They're like the coaches. They put in time like
and
the
I
coaches.
I will say, outside of a team like, I think Seattle probably has the coolest personalities in the league between, like, Sherman and Marshawn and everyone. The Dolphins have some pretty cool people. I mean, the Dolphins have some really cool players. I mean, I think our whole storyline with Lamar Miller and Olivier Vernon, you know, the hometown players, I think that's as cool as anything. I think that when you look at, you know, what's going on with, I mean, Brent Grimes is a great, like, guy on the team. Louis Delmas was so much fun. It's such a bummer, like, as a person. Just, like, I always say, like, We dehumanize these people sometimes because they're athletes, but we have to take a step back and say, like, Louis Delmas is just a hardworking guy, and it's a shame to see him go down. Same thing with all these fantasy injuries. Like, people will say, oh, the first tweet I saw, and I will say it was a little bit off-putting from an NFL Network employee, from Michael Fabiano. First tweet when Kelvin Benjamin went down was Cam Newton, something about Cam Newton's stock.
Yeah, well, that's
one of the reasons I stay away from fantasy. I stay.
Do you not play fantasy football at all?
I do. Are you in? I don't know if you're in the Maniacs.
No, I didn't. I didn't get into that. I told Lewis, I'm sorry. I declined because, I mean, this year I've always been in so many fantasy leagues, and then this year I had to cut way back. So I cut it back to two this year, and next year it'll be one, and that'll be probably it because this podcast takes up my time along with the next fan up podcast I'm on with Pod Vader, and you know, then I've been on podcasts, now I'm being invited to be on other people's podcasts as guests, and let me tell you, man, it's just taking up so much of my time. I just don't have time to play fantasy football as much, so.
Yep, I gotcha.
Yep.
I'm in one league. I do a league with my high school friends, mm-hmm. just for fun. We have stuff like that, but I'm not, you know, a super intense fantasy player, partially because I think it's hurt American sports culture.
It has, but then it's also invited people in that would have never paid attention.
Right,
before.
It also has. I'm not saying it's entirely.
It's
bad.
It's had a double, a kind of a. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but it's been a negative. You're right, for some people, because
there's fantasy duality.
Just...
There is a serious duality to the experience.
Yeah, and then there's people who only care about the fantasy aspect but wouldn't have watched other. There's people that have, like, don't – they're going to sit there and root, and I will admit – sorry, guys. I'm going to just admit it right now. I got hammered for it on Twitter, but I will admit it. When it comes to playing fantasy football, I draft to win. So if that means I draft Tom Brady, then sorry. I draft Tom Brady.
I do too.
You know what? Straight up, I draft Tom Brady to win, and then I covered him his first four games with Matthew Stafford. Winning! You know what? If he has a bad game, I'm happy as a Dolphins fan. If he has a good game, well, I'm not happy as a Dolphins fan, but I'll take the points because I'm playing fantasy anyway, so I might as well be winning if I'm playing. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
I'll homer a little bit every year. This year I have Jarvis Landry on my team, but that's it. I wanted the Dolphins defense. I try to get at least one Dolphins guy on my team every year. Last year I didn't get one because we didn't have any really solid wide receivers. This year it's Jarvis, and I was a little nervous about the pick at first, but I'm excited.
I've got Jarvis Landry,
I'm interested to ask you a question. I'm interested to turn the tables for a sec.
Yeah, that's cool.
How long do you think we can go back to real football talk? We can get a little more directional now. We can go how long do you think it's going to take Devontae Parker to get integrated into the offense?
Week 8 or 9 or so. The middle of the season. I just feel like it's going to take that long to where he's really a true contributing part. Up until then, he's just going to be there in bits and pieces. That's just.
And where do you think he'll climb the depth chart up to? Do you think he'll be number 2 by the end of the season?
By the end of the season, I anticipate he will not come off the field. Him and Landry will not come off the field. And really, we play 3 wide. So it's possible that him, Landry, and I will never say Stills, Jennings, Matthews, maybe even Hazel if he makes it. None of those guys are, those guys will rotate in and out, but I anticipate that by the end of the season, Landry and Parker will always be on that field unless they just need a quick break or there's something wrong.
I think Stills will be the strong number 3. But I mean, you look at our receivers. I don't think Jordan Cameron's going to be on the team next year personally. I think his cap hit increases to $10 million.
Yeah, he's a one-year rental. Right. Even though it's a two-year deal, it's not a real two-year deal.
Jennings will be on the team next year with $5.5
million. I'm sorry, who did you say?
Greg Jennings, $5.5 million next season.
Possibly not. You know, I don't really know. Then I hope to keep Matthews in that case, which they may not because he's going to be a free agent.
Right, he's going to be a free agent, but Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, and Jarvis Landry, we have all for under $1 million.
That's nice. Yeah, I think we have to re-sign Jarvis at the end of next year.
5 years of Devontae, 4 years of Jarvis. Tannehill's deal was actually pretty cap-friendly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a smart deal by the Dolphins.
Restructure. I think he's going to get the $120 million payoff against the salary cap in 2017, but I think by 2018 he's going to have restructured.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Sue. I think Sue will have restructured by then. I mean, Sue's payout next year is gigantic, but then it drops a lot. I think what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to get Miller or Vernon on front-loaded deals because Tannehill and Sue get $20 and $15 million respectively, which is a lot. But you look at teams like Green Bay who have guys like Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Clay Matthews, Aaron Rodgers, and he's got all on big contracts. And they can do it. And I think, like we were saying about Dennis Hickey and his analytics, Dennis Hickey does a really good job with the salary cap. And so did the Jets when Mike Tannenbaum was there. They never had salary cap collapses, even when they had Cromartie and Revis and LaDainian Tomlinson and all these guys. They never had salary cap issues.
Well, there's still a reason, too, that Donna Ponte is on this team and part of this team. She is considered one of the best with the salary cap in the NFL. And it's the reason she went from the league office to Cleveland, I believe, originally when she came from the league office. She is very good with the cap. And,
so I think I'd be really interested. I just want to see her step into the public eye a little bit more. I would really like to hear some interviews with her. I think Tom Garfinkel's also been huge for the team. Tom Garfinkel does a great job with fan interaction and with the marketing. And he kind of took the lead on this new stadium project and did very well with it. And I think one thing that should be said also when we're talking about salary cap, people can bash Stephen Ross all they want, but he is not cheap.
Yeah, I don't think people are bashing him as much anymore, considering the stadium. And he, I mean, he got Sue. I just don't think they're going to bash him anymore.
He stepped up big time with this stadium.
Yeah, and Sue.
But I will say, Sue's going to put butts in the seats, and he's going to make all his money back on that contract.
Yeah, he will. No, he definitely will. I wanted to kick back real quick to the fantasy just to say that I do have, I know you get busted on for having Tom Brady, but I do have Landry and Miller on my team. Okay. So I brought my Dolphins love.
Stud. Lamar Miller's going to be a stud this year.
Well, I ended up with Le'Veon Bell, even though he's suspended. So I've got to roll with Lamar Miller and Joseph Randall for a few games until Le'Veon Bell comes back. And then I'll have Le'Veon Bell and Lamar Miller paired with Julio Jones and Calvin Johnson. Winning!
That's a crazy draft. I don't know if you do. How many teams are in your league?
There's 12, dude. These people were just, you know what? It was one of those leagues where, I don't know, man, where people were very homery. Like, they would really draft their home team. Yeah, like, if you're Reggie Wayne got drafted in the fifth round. Do I need to say anymore?
What?
Yeah, do I need to say anymore? People were drafting.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've
ever
heard.
Drafting backup kickers and backup defense. And I did what I want to always do. I waited to the second to the last round to draft my defense, and I still got the Dolphins, dude. I was so stoked. I was like, I'm going to wait till second to last round like I always do. I'll never get the one I want. And
I got
the Dolphins.
I got two guys who got stolen out under me. The Dolphins defense did, and Jeremy Maclin did. I traded for Maclin, but I could not, because the other guy, the guy who owns the Dolphins defense in my league is also a Dolphins fan, but so he wouldn't trade him.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't have any other Dolphins fans. The only thing I was mad was I wanted to back up Brady with Tannehill, but he went way earlier than I thought he would. I was like, kudos, sweet. I'm not going to complain as a Dolphins fan, but as a fantasy fan, I was like, crap, I thought he'd be around a few more rounds. So I ended up having to back up Brady with Matthew Stafford. But, I mean, for five games of Stafford, that's not bad.
By the way, they're saying everything looks fine.
Everything's fine what?
It looks like everything's okay with Pouncey.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right now, it seems like it seems like everything's going to be okay with Pouncey.
Where are you getting that from? Are you just a Twitter?
I saw a post. I'm in a bunch of those Dolphins Facebook groups, and someone posted that they saw it on Twitter that he's fine. I'm not fully believing it yet, but I mean, if you know, nothing contrary to that has come out yet. I mean, even the beat reporters have all just said like he's fine, he's fine, he's fine. Like, I think if that was a regular season game, he would have been back in it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye, guys, today and next week on Tennessee Titans and Andy Levitre. And see what happens there, because I think he would be an even better fit for us than Evan Mathis was. And I would be really excited to have him on a board. And he apparently hasn't been starting for Tennessee.
Okay.
I would be very interested to see what happens with Andy Levitre.
Yeah, I was actually trying to sit here and look through, believe it or not, Omar Kelly's Twitter feed. You know, I just realized today that I can sit here and look through the Twitter feeds while I still do the Skype call at the same time.
Right.
So I was just looking to see if he had said anything. Dolphins center Mike Pouncey isn't worried about his knee injury. That was 1 hour ago. That's all I see. So it doesn't look like it's anything major. I just like to know exactly what the injury is. I would feel better to know, but I'll just take their word for it, I guess, and move on.
Yep, I think. And so, okay, so let's, I mean, I think it'll be fun. I don't know, it's your show, but I think it'll be fun to finish up with a little bit of roster cuts talk. I know we talked about it a little before.
Yeah, it's a good idea because we're coming into it in a few days. You know, I didn't even think about that until you said it on the show. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. We're getting ready to cut some guys.
We could run down positionally right now and just rattle off a few guys that we think are or aren't going to make it.
I got you. I got nothing in front of me, so I'm going to let you have it, man. Go for it.
Okay. Quarterback. We know it's going to be Tannehill and Matt Moore, for better or for worse, with Moore. Josh Freeman is not going to make the team. Neither is McLeod Bethel Thompson.
But there's so many you think they'll cut him and bring him on the practice squad, though, MBT?
Maybe MBT on the practice squad. But I think at the point where MBT is on the practice squad, he wouldn't be active on game day anyway. So he wouldn't help us if Matt Moore went down. We'd already be, we'd already be stuck. We would sign a guy off free agency. I think we'd go with like a Vince Young or someone like that. If both, knock on wood, if both Moore and Tannehill went down, which that's very unlikely, but Running back, I think we're looking at four.
Yeah, I kept four too. So we won't. We'll cut Gillislee then.
And James, yeah, I think Gillislee and Demetrius Bronson are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Safeties, we talked about. Tight ends, I don't know if we keep a third guy. I don't know
if we don't keep a third guy, then we. Yeah, I was gonna say if we don't keep a third guy, then we're picking a guy up. I mean, right. You're not gonna roll with two tight ends.
So I don't think Semish makes it. Tim Semish. I think it's either. He's huge. He's 6'8". He's a Jeff Ireland guy, but I don't think Jeff Ireland actually picked him because he's a rookie. But Jake Stoneburner and Jarrell Robinson are gonna duke it out, I think, for the last tight end spot, and I think one of them might be a practice squad guy. Because I think that if you had to line Rishard Matthews up inside and make him play a little bit of tight endy style, like he's 215, he's a big enough guy. He could do it if he had to. I think linebacker, I don't know if Spencer Paysinger makes the team.
Yeah, I had him originally on my 53, but he has disappeared, man. I just hadn't seen him.
Jeff, I don't think Jeff Luck makes the team, but Mike Hull and Zach Vigil have both been playing out of their minds.
Yeah, Hull surprised me because I just didn't think he was going to make it. I thought he was just too small. And I said he wasn't going to be on the 53, and it looks like I was wrong. I had Vigil on the 53. You know, they kept eight linebackers last year.
Yeah,
that's
they
the
did.
Special
they
teams did. Thing. All the six cornerbacks, eight linebackers, that's the whole special teams thing, man. I know I'm always talking about it when it comes to the roster piece. We don't talk about special teams as far as, ooh, how was our special teams play? I really like that block by so-and-so. We don't discuss that, but when I talk about special teams, it's about
that's,
how the
that's
roster
how Tony is formed. Tony Lippett can make this team as a gunner. Do you remember last season? A lot of people don't realize this was Lippett. Do you remember when the Baylor kicker got absolutely murdered on the field? I mean, he did that thing where they knocked him over and he sat up and then he like fell back down.
No, I don't actually remember that.
Tony Lippett laid out the Baylor kicker last in one of like the bigger hits in college football last year.
But it was on Lippett's not on a kicker. I'm supposed to be impressed by that? That's just dirty.
It was still cool. I mean, Lippett weighs what a kicker weighs. I mean, Lippett's 190.
That's true. He is kind of small.
I think he'll make the team as a special teamer. He won't make the practice squad like another team would claim him. So I don't think
he'd get claimed in a second.
Zach Bowman's been in the league too long. I don't think he's practice squad eligible.
No.
Offensive line, I think you got Pouncey, Brenner at center, J.D. Walton probably. I mean, he's probably ahead of Brenner right now.
Yeah, that's because Brenner could kind of play some other positions a little bit. They like him. And that needed to happen, or either Brenner or Walton weren't making it. You don't need three centers.
One of the hardest decisions I'm looking at on this team, who do we cut at defensive tackle?
That's.
I mean, Anthony Johnson's obviously out because, I mean, he had that awful game against Chicago with like four offsides. Do we cut A.J. Francis?
I had on my original 53.
Henry Montgomery?
I had 50. My original 53, I had us only keeping four defensive tackles. I had Sue, Mitchell, Mosley, and Phillips, and everyone else got cut, including Francis and Johnson.
I haven't seen enough of Mosley. I mean, he's going to make the team, but I really would have liked to see more of C.J. Mosley this preseason.
He hasn't really he hasn't played that great, though. I mean, I wonder, will they keep him around just to do it? I don't know. He has not looked that amazing to me. I thought he would be better.
A.J. Francis has looked good. A.J. Francis, Mr. Uber, has looked good.
I mean, maybe they'll keep Francis and kill Mosley, or maybe they keep five defensive tackles, and then the number has to come from somewhere else. Guess we're going to see.
I mean, how old is Francis? Could Francis...
He's still pretty young. I mean, I don't know his exact
age. Second-year player, Francis could end up on the practice squad.
Yeah, he could, but I don't know if he would make it to their practice squad because he was on our 53 last year, wasn't he? I believe he was. So I don't even know how that works, to be honest with you. What makes players practice squad eligible or not practice squad eligible?
It's a certain number of years that they've been in the league.
It's just years, that's it? But what if you're a starter all year? That means you're a starter, and the next year I can cut you and put you on the practice squad? I mean, obviously that's not going to happen, but does it allow for that? Or is there, if you play a certain amount of snaps in the previous year, are you now not eligible for a practice squad? I wonder.
That's actually interesting. That's something I'll research. I mean, next time I'm on, I'll go into that.
Get on that, Max. I need that information. I don't want to look for it myself.
I'll do that for you.
Thanks.
I'll be your research champ.
Nice.
Jamar Taylor's injury is also something we have to monitor because, I mean, we could have to keep an extra corner just in case. And I mean, it says that he's going to be fine based on everything I've read.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily it was not his hamstring again. because those hamstring injuries linger really badly. It was great seeing Jay Ajayi last night, speaking of hamstrings.
Yeah, he got a little action in there. He looked okay. I mean, a little better there.
He plays well. I mean, Jay Ajayi could be an exciting guy. I mean, I think...
I was so excited about this guy coming into camp, you know, and then nothing.
Yeah. We got him late, really late. I thought he was going to be like a second or third round pick.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think they keep him for sure. I'm not worried about that.
Oh, yeah, he's making the
team. All right, any other couple players you want to throw out there before we wrap it up?
No, I think, I mean, we've looked at pretty much everyone. I'm going to have to say Matt Hazel's just been super impressive. And we've got a lot of great receivers. I mean, I think the only reason we cut Michael Preston so early is so that he could land somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that...
Did he land anywhere else?
I'm actually just looking that up right now.
Carolina.
Let's see. I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, I was thinking that, and then I forgot to follow up on it because he wasn't a Dolphin anymore, so I forgot about him.
I mean, it doesn't say if anyone assigned him, but I would be surprised if Green Bay or...
Green Bay doesn't pick up free agents, dude. They stay in-house, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they got a guy on the. I guarantee you, somebody from their practice. Well, there's no practice squad right now, but somebody that they were thinking practice squad will now make their team. That's the way Green Bay rolls it. Green Bay has not picked up a free agent. Now, undrafted free agents, yes, of course. Every team has to pick those up, or you couldn't fill a 90-man roster. They have not gotten a regular free agent on their team in 3 seasons straight. Not one. That is. This is how you do it.
Speaking, you actually led perfectly into something I wanted to say before you wrapped up. I just want to plug an article I'm working on for the site really quick.
Okay,
it's
going to
be up in the next couple of weeks. What I'm doing is there's a longstanding rumor that all Dolphins fans have dreaded that we don't draft our talent in-house.
Oh, that's so
that
wrong.
We don't draft.
So wrong.
And
I can't wait to read
this
article.
I'm examining the teams that people cite. I'm looking at the Patriots. I'm looking at the Seahawks. I'm looking at the Packers. I'm looking at teams like that. And I'm showing you, I mean, I'm looking at the Dolphins' defensive lineup right now, and outside of three of the guys, we could start all players we drafted.
Yep.
On offense, it's a little, I mean, it's fewer, but it's, I mean, only one, it's only, the only guys who are probably going to start that we didn't draft are Jordan Cameron, Brandon Albert, and Stills. And Stills is only starting because Parker's hurt.
Yeah, I mean, you can, and I count undrafted free agents as well. That's in-house. That's in-homegrown talent right there.
And I think you've got to also count guys who you didn't sign as a big free agent. I mean, there are guys who we signed.
Like Brent Grimes. Well,
Cameron Wake. We didn't draft Cameron Wake.
No, Cameron Wake definitely counts because he was just picked up as a guy who was nobody. He was nothing. And we brought him on and look what he became. So for me, he counts. Brent Grimes, I wouldn't count Brent Grimes. You know, we didn't draft him. We didn't develop him even. We brought him on and he was good.
Just on the year that Kenny Stills has, we could almost count Kenny Stills if he has a good year because, I mean, he wasn't like a serious, we didn't make a blockbuster trade to get him. We just had to dump Ellerbe.
Yeah, we had to dump Ellerbe, and we had to have some kind of speed replacement for Wallace too.
But yeah,
because our offense works on tiers. You know what I mean? And we need some kind of speed threat, a legitimate speed threat, not just a guy who's fast, not just Ted Ginn. You know what I mean? We needed some kind of legitimate speed threat to make it all work, and that's the reason they got Stills.
So yeah, that's coming up on the website. We've got content going up for all the games. Check us out on Twitter. I run our Twitter account at the Deep End Miami. I answer any question you throw at me, and I appreciate you having me on again. It's always fun.
Yeah, man. You always bring the energy. I love it. Anything else you want to plug? Twitter. You just said that at the Deep End. So,
yep. Twitter. Like us on Facebook. That's where we post all of our articles. Yeah.
That's all the ways to get in touch with you, right?
Everything. Love interacting with any Dolphins fans. Love hearing from you. Thanks for having me on again. Love. I'm excited. I believe it's September 6th. We're doing a season preview show with you. Yep. That's what I have in my calendar, whenever it is.
Yeah, you're going to be calling in. Is that the Monday? I'm trying to, because I actually have that written down.
That is the Sunday before the Redskins game.
The Sunday before. Yeah, because actually it's been moved to Monday, September 7th. If you're still able to call in, if you're still able to call in that day. All right, cool, cool. Yeah, I'm going to have you, I'll have you on for a little while, and I got some other people that are going to be coming on too, off and on the show. September 7th will be the kickoff show. We'll be finalizing. We'll have that final roster by then, because all the cuts will have been made. We'll know what the 53 is. And me and Sean, who did our 53-man roster leading into camp, before camp even started, we're going to see how close each of us was. And I got a little skit that's going to be prepared for us by Taint Funny. It's a podcast, a comedy podcast. Partner with them to do a little skit. I'm not even going to say what it is, but it's going to be pretty hilarious. So we're actually finishing that up tomorrow morning, and I'll be playing that on the show as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to preview the Redskins game, all that. So September 7th is when all that will go down. I'm not set up to do live broadcasting yet, but maybe by next year I'll... when I say live broadcasting, I meant to Skype it in, like Periscope or something like that. But speaking of live broadcasting, yep. I will be live broadcasting the audio broadcast of the Redskins-Dolphins game on September 13th at 1 o'clock. So you can go to Rabble, RABBLE.TV, and look up the Miami Dolphins, and you will see the broadcast in there, and you can set a reminder to listen. And also, I've been tweeting it all the time. You can find the link on Twitter. And once it starts getting closer that day, I'll tweet it up as much as Twitter allows me without suspending my account for tweeting the same link, which has never happened to me, but I know it's happened to people. So so check that out for sure. You'll be able to, I know people probably won't listen to the whole thing. They'll just kind of listen in and out, especially commercials, because I really only have a few commercials, in halftime and all that fun stuff. We'll have an actual, be interactive. You can get on there and chat with us if you want. I'll be tweeting out as well while I'm doing it. So it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be fun. It's a new platform. We're going to try it out, see how it goes. And see if we want to do any more after that. So we got that going on as well. My Twitter handle is @unsquishthefish. You can also hear me on the podcast Next Fan Up, which is a podcast done with Pod Vader and the Super Fans. One fan for each team. I am the Dolphins representative, obviously. So you can go to iTunes and Blog Talk Radio for the podcast Next Fan Up. And I will be appearing in another podcast called The Sports Gal Pal. So if you go on Twitter to, I feel bad, I don't actually know her Twitter handle. But if you go to Twitter and do The Sports Gal Pal, and go to iTunes, go Sports Gal Pal, you can hear in there. And I will be, she did a bunch of previews for each team, so I'm doing the Dolphins one. That'll be up in another week or two, so look for that as well. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for listening, and have a great day.